lot of good on good here in the Big Ten down the stretch.
Well, there's no question. I mean, there's no question. It's been great, and it really amazes me how Greg and staff have just been able to find these guys. You look at John Tonjay, what he's done. There's not enough words to explain where he's at. Quickly as we were going off, the TV crew left, I asked LaFonso, I said, where do you have, John, just player of the year? Because I think he's player of the year now. I really do. I had Braden Smith on Saturday. Well, I mean, I'm and it's not because we're being a homer. I mean, I'm just trying to get a quick feel out there for people. And I think John Tonjay is that.
I think he's moved into the league.
I mean, he's moved into the cup. Yeah, there's still a lot to play, right? And you have to go and you have to finish this. Oregon at 11 o'clock game. We've seen enough 11 o'clock games at the Kohl Center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have. Now, I think it helps. You've got Oregon coming, and obviously they play. I think they have one before.
They play Iowa tomorrow
first,
night.
Right?
Yep.
So there's a – but it's still – I don't care what you do, and I don't care how many days you're there. That body clock is a little difficult. So,
yep.
Wisconsin just has to continue to do what they do, play together. That's what they did. They realized they had the advantage in the post. What do? They out-rebounded him. They hit the offensive glass. They concentrate on getting the ball inside early in this game, and that's why they continue to have the success and got off to that lead.
17 assists for Wisconsin tonight, as that continues to be a very favorable statistic for the Badgers, coming in averaging about 15 a game. They get 17 dimes here tonight. We'll keep it here as head coach Greg Gard making his way to our location. The Badgers defeat Illinois 95-74 as Wisconsin now 21-5 overall, 11-4 in Big Ten conference play, as John Tonjay continues to state his case for a lot of honors. Steven Crow, 20.7 rebounds, joined now by the Badgers head coach. Hopefully none of you guys catch the flu here, like apparently it's gone through Illinois. So it was,
there wasn't anybody that was watching on TV or described. I know there was a few boos, but it wasn't. When I got to Brad, he just said, hey, you guys got to get healthy. And obviously the Johnson's out and whatever else is going on. He goes, we got the flu rolling through us. A bunch of our guys are in the locker room right now, discharging. So I said, if you're okay, we're not going to shake hands. Is that good with you? And he goes, yes, dude, fine. I said, hey, we're cool. We're good. Good luck. Talk to you.
Yeah, because you guys say on the air, you guys get along. Okay.
We've drank a lot of beer together, so we're good.
That's right.
He's a good guy.
As long as it's varsity gold in Illinois.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, as long as it's that, you're good to
plug
go.
Plug that in there, Brian.
Yeah, right.
We did. We were looking at a lot of things, and I know they don't have Marez Johnson, but we also know they're an elite rebounding team, and you got a lot done on the glass, it seemed, early in the game. A lot of factors there, but that was pretty high.
We did. We tried. There was a few got away from us. Obviously, the ball bounces funny sometimes, but I thought we were – when we didn't get them, there was, a group accountability that they were pretty astute in talking about what we needed to get cleaned up. But, I thought we were much better defensively the second half. We prepared for them to do some things, and then with a visage out, complete what they were starting with was nothing that we had prepared for. So it took a little bit there for us to get our legs underneath us and figure out what they were trying to do and how to just handle a lot of that dribble drive stuff and much more, obviously, switching than what we had planned on because of the lineup.
You don't get to see opponents twice a whole lot. You get three of them. Well, thankfully for Steve, it was one that he didn't play as one of his better games for. Now he gets a chance to kind of get a little redemption. And I thought he came early in this game, was ultra aggressive.
Right.
Whether it was getting the ball in the post, finding cutters, or just some of the post moves.
Right.
Just put the shoulder down and go through somebody.
Right.
You saw some of that, and then you look at the stat line, 20 points, 7 of 10, 3 of 3. Like, it's amazing when he plays with that amount of energy and that amount of aggression, how successful he can be.
Well, yeah, and just how much better it makes us. I mean, obviously you facilitate a lot through him, and he has 5 assists, 1 turnover, and that's just direct shots for baskets, let alone how he spins it when we throw it out of the post and we get up the second, third, pass from that and what we get from it. So, yeah, I mean, we need an aggressive Steve. Obviously, I think he remembered 2.5 months ago.
I think there's a little bit of that as well. Exactly. Circled
that
one.
I reminded him pregame. So he responded.
He does have a way. He may not show it, but don't confuse that with lack of competitiveness, right?
Right. Yeah, Steven, he's got a little edge to him.
When you started this game, obviously they had a lot of rotation differences, but offensively it looked like there was a focus to say, hey, let's dominate the paint early on. We know you guys want to shoot threes, but you're also going to take layups if they're there and get the ball to paint.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's all part of the process.
Exactly.
We're trying to attack the paint and play within it, and we have some, you know, we get there and they draw traffic, kick it, and make some threes and, you know, and then get to the free throw line. That was big, especially the second half. I thought we, you know, shot, I would say 13 free throws. It seemed like there was more. We shot 77%. Felt like we shot 50 with how we have been shooting the free throw line. But, yeah, I think only two turnovers the second half. That was important. Thought we got a little loose, a little sloppy the first half. But, you know, this team just gets better as games go on. They figure out opponents and different guys step up different nights. And, you know, just – fun team to coach.
Well, not that you've got to say this, but I'm going to ask you. John Tonja is making a statement for Big Ten Player of the Year with the way he's doing and the way he's going about it. I know you guys don't have those conversations in the locker room about that, but just what does it mean to see John do this and obviously make a statement? I mean, to be the best player in the Big Ten, he's definitely making it very difficult for a lot of people out there that make those decisions.
Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing is with John is he wants to have the Big Ten Team of the Year, you know, and he's very team-focused. He's very coachable, as I've said 100 times. And I thought he got a little sped up early. I thought he forced some stuff early. But then when he gets in a rhythm, he starts banging shots. It's you kind of just say, okay, go do your thing.
We're amazed that he makes the hard look easy. I mean, contested shots that he just drills.
It's right. Ridiculous. I mean, some of them you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he's a confident player, and his ability to get to the foul line too is big because he can get himself out of a rut by going to get fouled and watch some free throws go in and then get back out at that 3-point line, do what he does.
What I love about it is that he absorbs, like I use that, you know, but he absorbs that contact. Most players go in to get that contact, they collapse when they get it. He's a load
coming downhill. Ooh. I mean, he's
absolutely.
Yeah, he likes to run between the tackles. There's not a lot of bouncing it outside with him.
Ron Dane.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, go enjoy some Varsity Golden Ale. If you're wondering, Butchie says he has
a couple cases
bowl,
for you if you need some.
I think I might have a few laying around too. Yeah, all your listeners, go buy it because it helps Badger, the Badger Collective, Varsity
Absolutely.
Collective. So
Yes, it does. Congrats. Go
Thanks,
enjoy.
Guys. All right, you bet.
Coach.
See ya.
Head coach Greg Gard joining us courtside as the Badgers defeat Illinois 95-74. More to come as our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Join the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and make a positive impact on lives across the state. Enjoy an excellent state benefits package and a nationally ranked pension program. The Wisconsin DOC is hiring social workers starting at $30 per hour, providing counseling and programming services, including substance use disorder programming to those in our care. To learn more and to apply, go to wisc.jobs. That's WISC.jobs.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's have brats for dinner.
Whoa, maybe not.
Hi, this is Fritz Usinger. Your home freezer can begin to suck moisture and flavor out of improperly packaged food products within a matter of days. That's why at Usinger's, we flash freeze our brats and then vacuum seal them to lock in flavor and seal out air. Just put them in your freezer, and when you're ready for a Usinger brat, drop the package in a bowl of water, and in 15 minutes, they're ready to grill. Remember, if it has an elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Wisconsin is home to some of the best educators in the country. The Outstanding Educator Program is brought to you by WEA Member Benefits, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Throughout the season, we are honoring incredible educators who go above and beyond for their students and communities. Do you know an educator who deserves the spotlight? Nominate them today at uwbadgers.com/outstanding educator. That's uwbadgers.com/outstanding educator. Because great educators make Wisconsin proud.
The Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers defeat Illinois 95-74. You were mentioning Butchie off the Wisconsin social media about Tanjay's back-to-back 30-plus. Michael Finley accomplished that back in the day. Another back in the day, the Badgers scored 90-plus in consecutive Big Ten games. The last time that happened was in 1992. Beat Illinois 92-78, and then Michigan 96-78. That would have been that latter game would have been against the Fab Five, and it was after it was announced that Steve Yoder would not return the following season, and then they went out and put on a show. Webster, Finley, all those guys. It turned out to be the last win of the season for Wisconsin, but got to be honest, I don't remember much about the win against Illinois. I have a decent memory of the win against Michigan. The Fieldhouse was rocking. The Fab Five that night wore Wisconsin uniforms, so they had their moment. The good news here is that the Wisconsin back-to-back 90-plus not only result in wins, but it keeps this team in contention on a path here in the Big Ten, on a path, you know, again, five games left plus the conference tournament, but on a path for a high seed. The higher the seed, the closer to home you get, you catch my drift.
Absolutely. And I think that's what this team wants. They know what it is, but they just also know that, hey, there's the process and it's the steps. And we can't skip any steps. If we look ahead and we start doing that, that's when, you know, hiccups come. And that's what this team needs to avoid. And I believe we'll avoid it. It really is. Like, it's been an impressive group as far as how they've been able to handle success.
Badgers win it 95-74. Back to wrap things up in 1 minute. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is the Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show. The Badgers defeat Illinois tonight 95-74. Oregon up next on Saturday, 11 a.m. tip. Our coverage will start at 10 a.m. And obviously another very important game for Wisconsin. A big day for Wisconsin basketball and the fans as they recognize the 2000 Final Four team 25 years ago. Dick Bennett led the Badgers as an eighth seed through the West Regional and all the way to Indianapolis and the Final Four. And a lot of those guys, including, I'm told, head coach Dick Bennett, will be here. So we talked about it before, Butchie. I think honoring, we saw that with the Final Four teams. We've seen that with other teams being recognized here. Just a great part of the history of this program.
I think honoring it is just a little bit of what you can do, because they've laid the foundation to what we're seeing now. I mean, if it's not that group and it's not the guys ahead of you that have laid that foundation, you're not where you're at right now as a program. You just aren't. And I think honoring that and understanding where that came from, and that's also one of those things that Greg's done in a phenomenal. I mean, guy can flat out coach, but he also understands, hey, we've got to make sure that we take care of the guys that help build what the standard is.
Yeah, I remember I've told the story before, but many times when Greg Gard was the interim head coach, we would talk and he would say, if I get the interim tag removed, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And go back years before that too, recognize every
and that's
era
where it started. Absolutely.
Basketball.
I mean, the foundation of what Wisconsin basketball is, it goes way before even the 2000 team. It's everybody's put their sweat into what this program is, and recognizing all that effort that's been into it's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a special day, and come on out and join us as the Badgers take on the Oregon Ducks as Wisconsin continues its climb up the Big Ten standings. Again, your final tonight, Wisconsin 95, Illinois 74. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Brian Butch, our engineer Dave McCann, and Aisha Jackson. Back in our network studio, this is Matt LePay, hoping you'll join us on Saturday morning as the Badgers take on the Oregon Ducks. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. And by Fabic Rents. For all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Administration's policy agenda. These are deeply conservative individuals. These were two of the folks who resigned. I'm going to get to a couple of really important points from their resignation letters in a moment. But I wanted to share this about my background as a government lawyer. Every single person who works in government, but most especially government lawyers, we all have our personal political beliefs. We all do. But most of us, I'd say by far the vast majority of us, take our oath to the state and federal constitutions very clearly, and we take our job duties to be impartial, to be objective, to not let our personal political beliefs enter into our decision-making just as seriously. Without this basic idea, which I think we all should be able to agree about, especially when you're talking about prosecutors, that departures from that, no matter whether it's coming from a Trump administration, a Republican administration, or a Democratic administration, are really bad for democracy. That criminal prosecutions, or lack thereof, should not be determined by political favor trading or the politics of the would-be defendant. With that value in mind, I'm going to tell you at least one story about when that principle was tested for me and how alarming I find the language coming from these resignations and what it tells us about our present minute and moment. You're going to want to keep it locked. We'll be right back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
As a student in high school, every day starts to feel the same. If I'm not taking notes in history class, then I'm writing an essay in English. Each day falls into the same routine, but when I go to my career and technical education classes, nothing there is routine at all. There is something new each and every day, whether it's something new we're learning or an exciting project my teacher assigns. The nice thing about technical education is that it's all hands-on learning, which is different from most classes. It doesn't even feel like I'm going to school with how fun and creative the teachers can be. Our classrooms range from a broadcast broadcasting studio for radio TV communication students to a medical training room for the health science program. My teachers aren't just assigning busy work, but lifelong information that I can use after high school. My teachers teach with a purpose, to show the knowledge and experience needed for a certain career. Career in technical education isn't just teaching, it's guiding. It's mentoring young students who want to learn firsthand from their mentor and role model. Go to acteonline.org and search for Teach CTE. Be part of the investment. Teach CTE.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to give props to one of our newest texters, Chris from Blue River. He was the number one voter, this morning at 7 a.m. Congrats, Chris, for getting out there and getting it done. I love it. Mark from Prairie du Sac also voted already. Newer texter from the 262 voted. Let's see, Charles from Milwaukee, he and his wife got the vote done. Congratulations to everyone for getting your vote done and being part of this democratic process. We are talking about a subversion of democratic processes that is going on as commanded by the Trump administration. If you want to know what the corruption of the Justice Department looks like, you need only look for you need look no further than the prosecution of Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, and not really his prosecution, but the request to dismiss charges. I've been talking about two of the lawyers that have resigned in protest, now apparently reporting today that in a matter unrelated to the Adams prosecution, another attorney in the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office resigning. I'm going to tell you a little story about that in a moment. Here's what is extremely concerning about the Adams case. Emil Bovey, who is, or Bove, is the second in command of the U.S. Department of Justice right under Pam Bondi. He apparently wrote a memo to the Southern District of New York and said, here are my reasons for why this prosecution should be dismissed. They're all garbage. But one of his justifications actually cut in exactly the opposite direction. He analogized this dismissal of charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams like the hostage exchange between Russia and the United States to get Brittany Griner back. I want you all to like think about this for a minute. Forget parties. Forget the politics. Using your good old thinking caps and common sense, how would it be in any way? What possible connections would there be between two foreign powers, at least up until today, adversaries, negotiating a prisoner swap, which is the very, I don't know, like the very literal embodiment of quid pro quo, embodiment, literal meaning, pun intended. How would that bear any resemblance in a good, healthy, democratic way to an administration dismissing charges in exchange for a mayor exerting whatever political influence he has to help the administration accomplish its policy preferences? How is that a good analogy? It's not. It's the worst analogy that you can imagine. It's an explicit admission that it was quid pro quo. And by the way, the fact that the request for Eric Adams' charges to be dismissed was without prejudice, which is the fancy legal term, meaning we can file them again, makes it even worse. It's like Trump is saying to Eric Adams, listen, you're going to do everything I say about immigration. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Not a whit of disagreement ever. I want you hitting my talking points every day. I want you marshaling up New York police officers. Get them off the street. Actually worried about, you know, crime in New York City. And I want you to deputize them as ICE agents. And I want you to conduct raids on my behalf. And if you ever deviate one little bit from my directions on any of this, well, then I'll direct my Department of Justice under Emile Bove and Pam Bondi to refile these criminal charges against you. It's like a looming extortionary force over Eric Adams' head. More breaking news on this very subject. Four New York City deputy mayors resigned from the Adams administration amid growing turmoil in City Hall. This is what the dismantling of democratic norms does. It creates absolute no bottom. Here's the acting U.S. attorney in her resignation letter. This should be called out for what it is, an improper offer of immigration enforcement assistance in exchange for dismissal of his case. Yeah. She goes on to say, the generalized concerns you expressed, Mr. Bove, are not a basis to dismiss an indictment returned by a duly constituted grand jury, at least where, as here, the government has no doubt in its evidence or the integrity of an investigation. She goes on and drops the bomb that, of course, we have proposed a superseding indictment, meaning a new indictment that would actually add an obstruction conspiracy count based on evidence that Adams destroyed and instructed others to destroy evidence and provide false information to the FBI. It goes on and on and on. She ends with this statement. I remain baffled by the rushed and superficial process by which this decision was reached in seeming collaboration with Adams' counsel and without my direct input on the ultimate stated rationales for dismissal. By the way, neither Pam Bondi nor Emile Bove found it necessary to meet with the acting U.S. attorney of the Southern District of New York about their directive to dismiss these charges. Here's what Hagan Scotton said about this. There is a tradition in public service of resigning in a last-ditch effort to head off a serious mistake. Any U.S. attorney would know that our laws and traditions do not allow using the prosecutorial power to influence other citizens, much less elected officials, in this way. If no lawyer within earshot of the president is willing to give him that advice, then I expect that you will eventually find someone who is enough of a fool or enough of a coward to file your motion, but it was never going to be me. We come back. I'll tell you what the stakes are for these people that are resigning, why these decisions were absolutely some of the most agonizing that these people have ever made in their professional careers, and why this is a warning signal, loud and clear, to every single last one of us. My name is Maggie Dawn. We're going to take more of your calls and texts when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, you'll be up first. All over, all over, all over.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A jury in Los Angeles finding rapper A$AP Rocky not guilty of firing a handgun at his former friend on a Hollywood street in 2021. Just 3 hours of deliberations, the artist whose real name is Rakim Mayers outside court.
I'm just so thankful. This is crazy right now. This whole experience has been crazy for the past 4 years, but I'm thankful. Nonetheless, I'm thankful. And we're blessed to be here right now, to be a free man talking to y'all.
Rocky could have legally gotten up to 24 years in prison with guilty verdicts. Top officials from both Russia and the U.S. meeting for 4 hours in Saudi Arabia's capital. It was the highest level engagement between the countries since Moscow sent troops into Ukraine nearly 3 years ago. President Trump today signing an executive order aiming to lower the cost of and expand access to in vitro fertilization. Brazil's prosecutor general charging former leader Jair Bolsonaro with attempting a coup to stay in power and agreeing to poison his successor. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the Badgers in Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Tonight at the Kohl's Center, it's Wisconsin against the Fighting Illini. Now, the last time these two teams met, Illinois won 86-80. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation. Head basketball coach Greg Gard on tonight's game.
Yeah, I think we're better on both ends of the floor. But obviously a really good team, a lot of talent. You know, when they're playing well, they're really, really good. So it's going to be a challenge for us and a good measuring stick to see where we have come from early December.
Number 16th ranked Marquette at home tonight in Milwaukee against Seton Hall. Baseball in Arizona. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked about 22-year-old Jefferson Cairo coming back from surgery, and Murph is excited about the young catcher's future.
He's the right kid. He's got the right makeup, the right approach to the game. Been coached well, parented well, because that dude's special. Just mark it down. When I'm around a great one, and I can smell it. He smells like he's going to be a great one.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Guy Pearce says Kevin Spacey made him feel uncomfortable while shooting LA Confidential. Pearce told The Hollywood Reporter the disgraced Spacey targeted him for months on the set back in 1997. The Oscar-nominated Pearce said he was not actually assaulted, but kept brushing off the advances, which was difficult to do because at the time, Spacey was quite powerful and very aggressive. Pearce said when he heard the reports that other actors came forward accusing Spacey of sexual assault, he broke down and sobbed. Pearce is nominated for Best Supporting Actor this year for his role in The Brutalist. And here's something that will make you feel old news. The Breakfast Club just turned 40 this past weekend. The John Hughes film was written in 1982 and put the famous writer-director on the map. The film's initial budget was $1 million and originally was going to be shot independently in Chicago. The Breakfast Club went on to gross $50 million after finally being released in 1985 and became a classic. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A cold weather advisory in effect until 9 a.m. Wednesday. In the overnight, a few clouds around the area, lows between 15 and 20 below, wind chills around 30 to 35 below. On Wednesday, partly sunny skies and highs in the middle single digits. Currently, 4 degrees below zero.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild returns to discuss the results of the primary election. Also, why did Judge Chutkan deny 14 attorneys general requests to block Doge firing? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tonight, Governor Tony Evers will be delivering his 2025-2027 biennial budget message to a joint session of our state's legislature. His speech starts at 7. Our civic media coverage of this event begins at 6:50. You're not going to want to miss it. Our team will also be around after the governor is done speaking with a breakdown of the priorities the governor has articulated this evening, along with updates, of course, from the spring primary election that is taking place today as well. If you don't know if you're registered and you still want to get your vote in, go to myvote.wi.gov. Don't worry, you have plenty of time. And we still have same-day registration here in the state of Wisconsin. And you've got until 8 p.m. to get in line to cast your ballot. Please, please do so. Want to give a shout-out to Kelly in Madison. She got her voting done. And to one of our newish texters from the 608, giving us all a little reminder to take your time with the ballot. The big vote that is on this primary ballot is for the state superintendent of public instruction. Carefully read it, because we have two J's on the ballot. We've got Jeff and Jill. So make sure you get the right J when you fill out your ballot. If you do make a mistake, just ask to talk to one of the election workers. They can, quote, spoil a ballot. It gets torn in half and you are reissued a new ballot. That ballot number is recorded, etc. I want to share, we're talking about the Thursday night massacre, the resignations of seven lawyers across the Southern District of New York, as well as a lawyer who resigned from Mr. Bove's office. So not in the SDNY, working directly in the Deputy Attorney General's office, a guy by the name of Nicholas Ruse also resigning. We now have four officials from New York City Mayor Eric Adams' office resigning, saying they cannot fulfill their oaths of office as they are being asked by Mayor Adams not to criticize President Donald Trump's administration on policies that conflict with their work, according to sources with the matter. Got a great tip from one of our texters as well, asking me whether a judge has blocked the dismissal of the Eric Adams prosecution that was directed by Pam Bondi, Donald Trump, and Emile Bove. I want to be really clear here. A federal judge cannot block a prosecution's office request for a dismissal. They can just determine whether it is with or without prejudice. That hearing is going to happen tomorrow, but the judge has directed Mr. Adams, Mayor Adams, as well as officials from the Department of Justice to show up and explain themselves. So I will be talking about that tomorrow in between all of our other amazing Wisconsin coverage that we're going to have tomorrow, which includes the governor's budget address, the Burka Binder. We're going to talk about the primary ballots and, of course, billionaires. Oh, my. This is also some breaking news. My thanks to my senior producer, Jamie, helping me stay on top of all of this. A federal judge declined on Tuesday to temporarily block Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency from accessing federal data systems at a slew of executive branch agencies. This is from Judge Chutkan. This is an early blow to efforts by a group of Democratic state attorneys general, I believe Josh Calls among them, to hamstring Musk and Doge as they undertake efforts to upend the federal workforce. This will not be the last say in this. There will be more coming on this. You may see different plaintiffs, maybe some federal employees themselves. You may also see more specific cases challenging particular access points. Here is a judge derided by Trump for the way that she handled his criminal prosecutions, actually, you know, following her good faith interpretation of the law and refusing to grant what was a temporary injunction. Funny how that judicial independence and actually taking your oath seriously works for both sides. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. I wanted to share with you all how incredible what we're witnessing is. Great comments on Facebook. If you want to watch me rather than listen to me, you can watch me on Facebook, X and Instagram, at Maggie Dawn Show. Civic Media also has its own YouTube channel. Want to thank the people that are participating on those outlets for participating. One person pointed out, why are people resigning? Why aren't they forcing the firings? Oftentimes, the firing can be spun. If you resign, you kind of claim the narrative a bit. It's also showing that you do not believe that you can execute direct orders that are being given to you by a superior. That is what happened in the case of the Southern District of New York. Interestingly enough, in response to these resignations and to the resignation of the assistant, the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who was put in that position by the Trump administration, just in case you were keeping track. The Department of Justice has done what? Oh, it's launched an investigation of all of these people. Those folks who work in the Department of Justice, especially those who have jobs in the Southern District of New York and the D.C. U.S. Attorney's offices, these are the two most powerful U.S. attorney's offices in the country. And these are jobs of these lawyers' lifetimes. You heard me give you part of the resumes of a couple of these people. These are Supreme Court clerks. Those two individuals clerking for two of the most conservative justices on the court, or that were on the court. These are jobs that people work incredibly hard to get, that are considered to be the top of the pyramid of lawyering. And these are not jobs that lawyers will resign from at the drop of a hat, or because they have some sort of spat with a manager. It just doesn't happen. These are some of the most coveted jobs in all of the practice of law. Even more coveted and even harder to get than those posh jobs at the fancy pants law firms in Chicago and New York and Washington, D.C. and L.A. These are people who believe very deeply in what they do. Resigning in this way by this many people, now spreading to the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, now spreading to Mayor Eric Adams' office, while not federal prosecutors, you know, working in the mayor's office for the New York City mayor is probably, you know, on the political spectrum, about one notch down from working in the White House. That's how seriously these people believe their integrity has been compromised. We will probably not see anything like this again in our lifetimes. And maybe it gets worse in this Trump administration before it gets better. But God help us if we ever see anything get this bad in another president's administration. And by the way, who do you think are the two offices when it comes to federal prosecutions that handle the vast majority of wrongdoing by the billionaire elites in this country and the vast majority of political corruption cases? Might that be the Southern District of New York and the D.C. Circuit? Yeah, you'd be correct. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit of my background and how intense the pressure can get. And I was just the top lawyer from Milwaukee County. And nothing I'm going to say here is privileged or confidential information. All of this is in the public record. When I was hired to become Milwaukee County's top lawyer, the two branches of government in Milwaukee County, the executive branch, the county executive's office, and the legislature, were in open warfare. They were actually suing each other. What were they suing each other about? The separation of powers. And at the root of the dispute were a number of questions about who gets to hire and fire and decide the compensation of certain high-level employees within Milwaukee County, people appointed by the county executive. And in addition, does the county executive's office need the approval of the legislature to buy and sell public lands, to hire contractors? Is it just contracts over a certain dollar? There are a whole bunch of questions. Does any of this sound a little familiar to you? And it was my job to come in and help clarify those matters. And I will just tell you this. I was asked to give an opinion on an issue in an open public hearing in front of the entire county board. And my legal opinion at that time was that that was not a particular power that was the legislature's. So I was telling the county board, no, that's not your power. That is the county executive's power. And no, you don't get to do anything about it. It's his and his alone to execute. And in that public meeting, my job was threatened. The chairman of the county board looked at me and said, if that is your opinion, Corporation Counsel Dawn, this means war. These were not unique moments. I worked for Milwaukee County through an incredible period of governmental unrest, both within the microcosm of Milwaukee County, but also broadly. It was during Trump's first term. I had clients that disagreed all the time about the what the right course of action was. And many applied all kinds of political pressure to me in my position. And the only way I was able to do that job, to whatever small impact I may have had, was because every day I knew that I would go into the office, I would do my very best, and I would do it objectively and professionally, and that my opinion and my advice would never change depending on who asked me. And in my near 15 years of public service, what I can share with you is this: there is simply no other way to do those jobs. That if you try to put your finger on the scales to situationally interpret things, to maybe partially share with your bosses or elected officials, it leads to a place of relativism that undermines the very democratic systems that you sign up to serve and protect, and the citizens and residents who are ultimately the ones who deserve your objectivity and your independence. And so I knew very well on a day-to-day basis that my job could be taken away. But when I signed up to do that work, I knew that that was part of the deal. So whether by resignation or termination, it is incumbent upon every single official in the Trump Department, in the Trump Department of Justice, and across every Trump executive branch agency to do their jobs without political favor or preference. It's the only way to do the work. All right, folks, we're going to take care of a little business. We're going to come right back and we're going to finish up with your calls and texts. Thanks to everybody. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll be back with more on the Maggie Dawn Show after these brief messages.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And
welcome back. Thanks to everybody listening with me and participating with me this afternoon on this edition of the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. You got Dom Salvia coming up next. I might be hanging around for a little overtime with Dom Salvia. If you would like to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in on this program, 855-756-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, thanks for your patience, sir. What say you?
Well, when you were talking about these different judges and everything holding the line so far, the only thing that scares me, Maggie, is this. All these hacks that are replacing people. And, like, for instance, this isn't in a judge area, but it's going to be very, very important going forward. This new person that they're going to assign to the FCC is scarier than hell. You know, yeah. I'd be watching your backside as far as being on the air. They are not... And then you talked earlier about the Russian situation in Ukraine and where we're at. Where are we at? We've got three different presidents, Hegseth, the vice president, and Trump. Last week, the vice president said that we'd be willing to send troops if the Russians don't, you know, allow this to go on peacefully.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, it's just the opposite. I mean, if I'm a foreign country, I'm sitting here scratching my head going, who the hell are we dealing with?
There was, Dick, couldn't agree with you more. There was a not widely reported event that occurred this weekend following J.D. Vance's comments at this Munich security conference. That is that the French president reportedly started calling the leaders of many Western European democracies and saying, we need to get together and talk about the Trump problem. And when I saw the headline, the thing that occurred to me was this. When the Western Alliance gathers in a meeting to discuss the resurgence of neo-Nazis, fascism, and dictators, and you're not invited to the meeting, you might be the Nazi, fascist, authoritarian dictator. Part of what has always been a cornerstone of U.S. power and dominance, despite our many historical failings, has been that in moments of tipping point type moments in world history, we have stood up and said, at great sacrifice, our own young men and women, trillions of dollars, that we will try to stand for human dignity, equal treatment under the law, free and open democracies, transparent and accountable governments, that no man is above the rule of law. What is it that we're standing up for now? It's not free speech. I mean, that's why J.D. Vance's entire presentation in Munich was such garbage. Of course it's not free speech. Because Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, all these, the social media swamp is suppressing all kinds of speech. They're punishing journalists. They want to jail journalists. Trump's media is the public enemy number one. That's not free speech. So what are the values that we stand for? And are we drawing alliances and supporting governments that align with us in those values? Or is there some sort of transactional next level chess game going on? And to whose benefit? I mean, so Musk is running Doge, accessing all kinds of info. Who's auditing the auditors? I mean, I'd like to know, wait a minute, where is Doge on Donald Trump riding around the Daytona 500 in the Beast or golfing nearly one third of the days he's supposedly on the job as he chastises public employees for working from home? You're working from the golf course. Wait, well, like, that made sense? I mean, how many tens of millions of dollars did it cost for Donald Trump to go to the Super Bowl? What's that about? So it's, please, we got to look down a few notches. What they say it's about, let's just assume that's not really what it's about, and then try to assess what's going on here. And I've had this little idea floating around for a long time, and I'm not going to get into it in great detail. But one of the things that I think we're all captured by in this moment, and here's my call to you, my call to action, we're all captured by our own perspective, our own vantage point of the world. And we know that this is a thing. How do we know that this is a thing? That we have a hard time seeing beyond our own blinders. That we have a hard time seeing the big picture, that we have a hard time accepting information that clashes with our own pre-existing beliefs. We know this if we look at the history of map making. Every curious person at one point in time has looked at a map and said, I wonder why Europe's smack dab in the middle. Why is north up and south down and east to the right and west to the left? Who decided this? When and why? And we know from the history of map making that this isn't the way that we always drew our maps. So I think we all need to call on ourselves to continuously challenge the information that we're receiving, to seek out better information, and to challenge our own preconceived notions. So pick the opposite of something that you believe this week and take a little research moment on it. See what it may reveal to you. That's going to do it for me. Dom Salvia is up next. Thanks for being with me on this Tuesday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go vote! Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. It is Wisconsin Wednesday. We're talking budgets, ballots, the Birkebeiner, and billionaires. Don't miss it. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. A jury in Los Angeles finding rapper A$AP Rocky not guilty of firing a handgun at a former friend in 2021. Jurors deliberated for only about 3 hours. Outside the court, his attorney, Joe Tacopina, thanked the jury.
Bottom line is, we're grateful for the jury. They saw through this mirage of a case. We said from day one he was innocent. He turned down a plea for almost no jail time because he was innocent. And I've always said this was an extortion. The extortion played out live in color in court.
The Trump administration Tuesday night, according to a memo obtained by ABC News, cutting off funding to organizations that provide pro bono legal help to unaccompanied migrant children. Federal judge refusing to immediately block Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency from accessing government data systems or participating in worker layoffs. Two backcountry skiers buried and killed by an avalanche in central Oregon's Happy Valley. This is ABC News.